2 Chronicles 10. This month, I want us to look at some of the kings, starting with the kings of the divided kingdom. They start in 2 Chronicles 10. You'll find them also in the first book of Kings. And what is so difficult about this study is that there is so much in Kings that is not in Chronicles, and in Chronicles that is not in Kings, and it's very, very difficult to put it together. Like this, when you look at the four Gospels, it is difficult enough to harmonize them, but it's even more difficult to harmonize the history of the kings of Israel and Judah. But we'll do what we can, and so we start with Rehoboam in chapter 10, which is introduced first in chapter 9 and verse 30. Look at 9:30. And Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel 40 years. And Solomon slept with his fathers, and he was buried in the city of David, his father, and Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. What is so sad about this is that for 120 years, we've had a kingdom that was not divided. You had, first of all, King Saul, the people's choice, for 40 years. And then you had David, 7 years, and then 33 years, another 40 years, God's choice, the man after God's heart. And then you have Solomon, the one that at the first started out so well, but then at the end of his life, and this is what is frightening, he turned away from God. If you read only the first part of the history of Solomon, there would be no doubt that he was God's child. You read the last part, and you wonder. So God knows. But anyway, after 40 years now, Solomon has died, and Rehoboam is his son. So what I'll do is just read, and then, as we go along, tell you these things. Verse 1. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel were come to Shechem to make him king. This is the coronation. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was in Egypt, whither he had fled from the presence of King Solomon, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all Israel came, and they spake to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father, and the heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. And he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days. And the people departed. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give you me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if you will be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and took counsel with the young men that were grown up with him, that stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye, that we may return answer to this people, who have spoken of thee, saying, make the yoke of thy father, which he put upon us, lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou say unto the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us, thus shalt thou say unto them, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. And now, whereas my father did lade you with heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as became bad, saying, come to me again the third day. And the king answered them roughly. And King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old man, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add thereto. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. So the king hearkened not unto the people, for it was brought about of God, that the Lord might establish his word, which he spake by Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine own house, David. So all Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. Then King Rehoboam sent Hadoram, who was over the men subject to task work, and the children of Israel stoned him to death with stones. And King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. And let me read these verses, starting at verse 1 in chapter 11. And when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men that were warriors to fight against Israel, to bring the kingdom again to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his house, for this thing is of me. So they hearkened unto the words of the Lord, and returned from going against Jeroboam. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these things that are recorded in the histories of men. Lord, we have seen the activities of many rulers of many lands, and we've seen what they decided to do, and we thought their decisions wrong or right. But we are glad that in the history that we've read here, that you tell us what decisions are right and are wrong. So, our Father, we pray that we shall learn from these things. Help us in our judgments and the decisions that we make from what we consider in this portion of God's Word tonight. Teach us from these kings of Israel and Judah, we pray. We thank you for the day, for what measure of health and strength you've given. And now, we look to thee for blessing tonight. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is what is so remarkable. Listen, girls, I want you to understand this. That Solomon had how many wives, do you remember? He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. They were semi-wives. The 700 were official wives, and these others were lesser wives. And what started with Solomon was passed on to his children. As we go along in the will of God, we'll see this, that his son Rehoboam had 18 wives and 60 concubines. Now, that was nothing in comparison with Solomon. but 18 wives and 60 concubines. And then his son after him had numerous wives and concubines, and so all of them had a pattern set by the father. It's a bad thing if you follow what your father and mother do. Sometimes. It's a good thing if you follow what your father and mother did at other times. In this instance, it was no good. But what happened was this, and this is what I've tried to find out, how it is that when Rehoboam had 18 wives and 60 concubines, the issue from those cohabitations were 28 sons and 60 daughters. What a family. You could remember all the names of your children. I know some today that have just a few, and they cannot remember the names of their children. Well, I'm sure if you had 60 daughters and 28 sons, who could remember them all? So what happens is that Rehoboam starts out, and he has all of this offspring from his wives and concubines. But I told you this, and I've never been able to get an answer other than one, that out of 1,000 wives that Solomon had, we are only told of one son that he had. Isn't that a remarkable thing? If his son had 18 wives and had 28 sons, well, if Solomon had 1,000 wives, he could have had 1,000 sons. But if he ever had them, they are nowhere mentioned in the Word of God. And I've looked and I found out this, that Solomon had at least 2 daughters, because it mentions them by name and the ones whom they married. But here is Solomon with his great number of wives, and the bad thing about the wives was this, that in his old age, they turned his heart away from following God. Think of that. There are some wives who are wise and their husbands are fools. Here we are, men. I must tell you, Nabal, his name was a fool, and Abigail, his wife, was a wise woman. She did what she could to correct his harsh, bitter attitude toward David and saved his life for a while and all his children. But then there are other wives that give just the opposite help to their husbands and destroy them. And this is what happened to Solomon and his wives. If you look up who the wife of this man was, let me show you. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 12, 2 Chronicles chapter 12, because it tells us that he was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years. And so look at verse 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned, for Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem. So think of that, just 58 years old, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. Now, what's wrong with that? What is wrong with it? And keep your place here and turn back to 1 Kings. I want you to see this. 1 Kings chapter 11. Naamah the Ammonitess. And this is what it says in verse 1 of chapter 11 of 1 Kings. And Solomon the king loved many foreign women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, we just read of Maacah, the Ammonite, Naamah, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go among them, neither shall they come among you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. and his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Look, Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites, and the wife that was chosen for Rehoboam was Naamah, the Ammonitess. Here is one that has false gods, and yet this marriage is condoned, and this is the one that was chosen for Rehoboam. How sad a thing. It was happening from the beginning. I remember when Samson wanted a wife, his parents said, "Can you not find a wife in Israel to marry?" But Samson wanted a wife of the Philistines. And he said, "Get her for me, for she pleases me well." And so what is so sad is that Solomon was not one who chose one of the forbidden nations' wives to marry, but he went and took one from nation after nation after nation, and with each wife came a specific god. And she had to have idols for this god. And this wife had to have idols for this god. And Solomon could not with strength say, "No, there is the one true God of Israel." And this is what is so difficult to comprehend, that God had appeared to Solomon and spoken to him personally. And yet, women of earth could draw his heart away in his old age, and he could set up these gods that he knew were no gods. And his heart was turned away from God. And so his son was married to one who was an Ammonitess of the nations that God said, "You're to have no marriage unions with them." And so she had an influence upon him, no doubt, as well. Now here is something that's very difficult. When Solomon, in his old age, turned away from God, God sent a prophet, and here is what I want you to see. Look in chapter 9 there of 2 Chronicles. Look in chapter 9 at verse 29. Now the rest of the acts of Solomon, first and last, are they not written in the history of Nathan the prophet and in the prophecy of Ahijah, the Shilonite, and the visions of Iddo, the seer, concerning Jeroboam, the son of Nebat? Now who can tell me anything, what brother can tell me anything about Ahijah, the prophet, and why this is mentioned here? Well, we'd better look at it. Keep your place, but turn to 1 Kings 11. 1 Kings 11. That's why you have to read Kings and Chronicles, because if not, you cannot understand these names that are mentioned. Look now at verse 29. It says, "And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way." So here is what we just read about in 2 Chronicles. "Found him in the way and clad himself with a new garment. And the two were alone in the field. And Ahijah the prophet laid hold on the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, 'Take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel.' And why did this happen? Because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Sidonians, Chemosh, the god of Moab, and Milcom, the god of the children of Ammon. And they have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my ordinances as David his father. So this is what was prophesied and determined by God. The Lord had made a conditional covenant with David and with Solomon. And he told Solomon that if he would serve him faithfully, his kingdom would remain intact and he would be ruler over all. But Solomon forsook his God in his old age, and now Ahijah the prophet made this prediction against him, and nothing's going to change it. That's such a sad thing. I want some of us to realize this, that when we enter into life, we enter handicapped and at a disadvantage for this reason. Your father, your mother, puts you in a position of difficulty to start with. There are others who have fathers and mothers who put them in a good position to start with. Think now of the mother of Samuel, Hannah. Hannah had prayed for Samuel. She had given Samuel to the Lord. She did everything in her power to make Samuel a young man of God, and that's what he turned out to be. And the sad thing is that concerning other parents, they sin, and when their children face a decision to make, they make the wrong decision. Now, think. Rehoboam was given an opportunity to make a decision. The old men told him what to do. The young men told him what to do. And he chose the counsel of the young men. You might ask this, and justly so. Well, why, if God had determined it was going to be so, why could God bring him in judgment for making that decision? It's God that forced him to make that decision. Let's put it this way. Do you understand that in your natural state as a descendant of Adam, God does not have to put it in your heart to reject Christ as Savior? If God does not work mightily upon your heart, without any influence from God, you will reject Christ as your Savior. Remember what the Son said. He said, "No man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draw him." And so if God leaves man alone, he will make wrong decisions. And so what God does is this. At times, we're about to do things that are wrong, but these words are so beautiful. God says to the king, "I have withheld thee from sinning against me." Think of that. Here is one who was going to sin against God, but God intervened and withheld him from sinning against him. Do you know what would have happened if God had just let him alone and do what he wanted to do? He would have sinned against God. And if God let the whole world alone and let them do what they wanted to do, they would all reject Christ, the Savior. But the Lord Jesus said, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment." And that's what happens. The Spirit comes and works upon the hearts of men, and the wrong decision they would make, he influences their hearts for good. Listen to what it says in Romans 2:4 concerning lost sinners. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" You see what God's goodness does? It leads us to repentance. But his leading us in that direction does not mean we're going to take that direction, because it says, "But you, after your hard and impenitent heart, rejected all of these overtures of God, and you choose evil." Now, what happens is this. When God looks at man, there are so many mistakes that he would make, wrong decisions that he would make. But God at times intervenes, and he withholds him from sinning. It happened in the case of David, as in the case of the king in Egypt. "I have withheld thee from sinning against me." But if God sees a man in his natural tendencies and does not withhold him from sinning, that man will invariably sin and make the wrong decision. Here are women before the eyes of Solomon. And God would withhold Solomon from sinning against him. He tried to. How? He told Solomon plainly. He said not to multiply horses, not to multiply wives, not to engage women of foreign nations because they will turn away your heart. God again and again tried to withhold Solomon from doing evil. But Solomon insisted on doing what was evil. And so now, here is Rehoboam. And he has a decision to make. And when old men tell him what to do, what young man wants to listen to an old man? But thank God, in this instance, the old men had the right counsel. Sometimes, young men have the right counsel. Let me put this in to encourage young men. When Israel was fighting against Goliath, the old men were afraid. But a young man came and did the will of God. His name was David. But in so many instances, you have old men, and they know what should be done. And young men do not know what to do. They do not know what is to be done. And this is something that breaks your heart. And this is what happened in the 60s. And this is what happened right after the war. This new learning, these new standards of morals came in. And are you happy with the world today? I went out for a walk yesterday over to the drugstore, and it was dark. And I had to keep on the lookout constantly because I hear that people on the streets of Goldsboro are committing crimes. Isn't that a sad thing? And at the same time, my father and mother told me what was right and wrong, and if I did what was wrong, they punished me. But now I am told that if parents punish their children, somebody can report them for abusing their children. And so that is the way they say that we should live. And so this is the generation that they have brought forth, and look at them today. And so understand that there were those that followed the word of God, and they may have applied it too vigorously and incorrectly, but at least they knew what the word of God said, honor thy father and thy mother. And that is something that I was taught, parental respect. But I'm looking at children today, and what authority and influence do parents have? For them to speak, they care nothing about the counsel of their parents. It has to be enforced. And so here are old men, and thank God that Rehoboam comes and says, now, this is what the people have told me. What is your counsel? And the old men said, do what they say. Your father Solomon ruled them so rigorously, had so much burden upon them that they were not able to bear it. He said, now, you do this. Make things lighter and speak kindly to these people, and they will serve you forever. Now, had he stopped there, humanly speaking, the kingdom would have been his, the north and the south. But he said, I want to ask some other people as well. And so he went and asked the young men that he had been brought up with. And you heard what they said. They said, what did they tell you to do? They said to make the burden lighter and to speak kindly to them. No, disregard that. You go and tell them this. My father was like a little finger. My burdens are going to be like my thigh. And my father whipped you with lashes, and I'm going to send scorpions after you. And when the people heard that, they said, what portion have we in David? And they said, you take care of yourself. And this is when the kingdom was split. And notice, it says, and I want you to see it twice, look down at verse 15, 10:15 of 2 Chronicles. So the king hearkened not unto the people, For it was brought about of God, that the Lord might establish his word, which he spake by Ahijah, the Shilonite, to Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. I had to read you that in Kings. And so what happens? I do not take it that God had to force Rehoboam to choose the counsel of the young men. He just left him to himself, and he chose the counsel of the young men, and it split the kingdom. So in like manner, when people go wrong today, it's never because God forces them to, that he wants them to. He simply leaves them to their own inclinations and ways, and almost invariably they do wrong. Set the Lord Jesus before a man and tell him to trust Christ as Savior. We were looking at that this morning. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Why? Because if we take Christ as King, then we will lose our position, and our nation will lose its standing. Therefore, we're going to reject him as King. And the Lord Jesus said, I came to bear witness to the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And so what God does is this. He seeks to turn man from his evil way, but man, if he's left to himself, and this is what it says. It says, woe unto thee, O Israel, when God abandons you, leaves you to yourself. Listen to what the Lord Jesus said. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Your house is left unto you. Death. And so what God did was this. How often would I have gathered thy children together? They said no. And so just as Christ said concerning some, leave them alone. They be blind guides of the blind, and they're both going to fall into the pit. And so what God did was to leave the decision up to Rehoboam himself, and he made the wrong decision. Now, let me show you this. Look in chapter 11 for a moment, because he's trying to remedy what has happened. This thing is of God, and the kingdom is split, but what he's going to do in verse 1, chapter 11, and when Rehoboam was come to Jerusalem, he assembled the house of Judah and Benjamin, 180,000 chosen men. He's going to fight against Israel to bring them back. Verse 2. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah. Now, here is a different mouthpiece of God. Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, speak unto Rehoboam the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel in Judah and Benjamin, saying, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up, nor fight against your brethren. Return every man to his house, for this thing is of me. So they hearkened unto the words of the Lord, and returned from going against Jeroboam. Thank God they accepted the judgment that had fallen. They made a wrong decision. The consequences were formed and determined, and they were going to try to change them. But God sent them a mouthpiece and said, do not. This thing is brought about by me. And they submitted to the will of God. Now let me show you what that did for them. Look at verse 17. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, strong 3 years. For they walked 3 years in the way of David and Solomon. Look at chapter 12, verse 1. And it came to pass when the kingdom of Rehoboam was established and he was strong, that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. It turned out like father, like son. God blessed him as long as he followed the Lord, and then when he forsook the Lord, then God abandoned him. So this is all we're going to consider tonight, but weigh carefully the decisions you make and cry unto God, lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. And, O God, may I follow the counsels as directed by you. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we're so sad for the decisions that men make, for what they do to themselves, and what they do to their wives and their children. Our God, what is sadder still is that their children come along, and they see that their fathers were fools, and they make the same decisions as their fathers. Our God, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here we are, Christians. We've seen the mistakes that Christians have made. And our God, unless you intervene, we shall make the same mistakes. So help us, we pray, our God. Pass no judgments upon us. Leave us not to our own inclinations, but our God. Incline our ways and our hearts to you. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.